Great. We've been following a series here, 40 years in the wilderness. And this one is on neither be idolaters. Let's look at our text here. 1 Corinthians 10:1 is where we've been working from. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. This reminds me, of course, of the Lord's Supper that we just had. As we come together to remember that Jesus died for us and proclaim our confidence in that and renew that relationship that we have every week, it's a precious time that we come together to remember the Lord's death till he comes again. Jesus said concerning the loaf, or concerning himself, I should say, he said, I am that bread which came down from heaven, the manna, which your fathers ate in the wilderness. And he said, but they died. But he that eats of me, he said, will never die. It was that picture of the coming of Jesus who would give them nourishment and health. And when people don't come and worship together and share that food of God, Jesus Christ, his word, then they become spiritually malnourished. And they are going to die spiritually. And they did all drink of the same spiritual drink, and Jesus said, my blood is drink indeed. And so we want to have within us the spiritual food and drink of Jesus Christ. And that's what they had. And he's reminding them that this is a relationship that you have in Christ. This is why we gather, and this is why we share together, so that we can be strong spiritually. And he said, however, they came together, but that rock was Christ, but with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. He's reminding them that you can do these things, you can go through the mechanics, you can come together and you can have the Lord's Supper and so on, and still you can die spiritually. They were overthrown in the wilderness. And it took them 40 years to get through that wilderness. And I'm kind of pointing to the things that caused the problem. Why was it that it took so long? Why did they die in the wilderness? Why did they have all these problems? And the scripture tells us. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as for some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. This was the warning, he says. He's going to have a series of these things, and today I'm choosing, it says, neither be idolaters. This is part of the reason they didn't get through the wilderness. This is part of the reason they died in that wilderness. And we need to realize that it isn't once in grace, always in grace, as is peddled by some religious groups. You can do anything you please, you won't be lost once you've said Jesus is Lord. Don't be idolaters. What is an idolater? What's that? An idolater. Well, let's go on and read the story here. And when the people saw that Moses delayed, let's go see the story in the original and we'll see what happened. They saw that Moses delayed coming down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. Excuse me. He said unto him, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what has become of him. We need something to follow, something to see. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and your daughters, and bring them unto me. Kind of like what's going on today. We took all these earrings and things that people have. How much? What would we have? We could make us a good golden calf, couldn't we? And Aaron said unto them, break off the, he said, and all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them in their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. How in the world did they ever get to that? You wonder, how can religion slip so far when they had seen so much? The power of God. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Now, this is a picture of what happens a lot of times in religion as people slip back and begin to do their own things, and the next thing you know, they're having a feast and rising up to play, having fun. The Lord said to Moses, get you down, for your people which you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. And God didn't corrupt them. They corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and said, these be your gods, O Israel, which have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. Well, what was the problem? The first problem was it was a people problem. Exodus 32, 1 through 10 says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together under Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as for this Moses and so on, we don't know what's going to become of him. Make us idols. What's an idol? Idols are begin with an I problem. They were impatient rather than trusting God. We want what we want now. And it was being taken a little while. And they were, we got to have what we want. Listen, we don't want to wait around 40 days. You know how long 40 days is? When you're out in the wilderness, you ever go out and camp for a month and a half? 40 days. When I get away from home more than a week, I'm having struggles. I want to get home. I'm not a traveling person. I like my home. All the conveniences, you know, are right there and everything. Well, these people have been out there for 40 days. Yeah, 30 days is a month, approximately. And another 10 days. And they're out there. They're having problems. And they're impatient rather than trusting God. Instead of recognizing how far they had come, They focused on what they wanted. They didn't look at all the what had been accomplished. Look what we've done. Look how far we've come. And they began to get impatient. Moses hadn't shown up. This Moses was moving too slow. He was slow and old, you know. And maybe he's dead out there in the wilderness. And they said, where is he? We don't know what's happened to him. Kind of reminds me of what Peter said in 2 Peter 3:4. Says, they said, they're going to say in the last days, where is the promise of his coming? You know, that's kind of the problem we see in the days of the world today. A lot of religious people and others, outsiders also, say, well, look, it's been 2,000 years. Jesus hasn't come yet. So we don't believe these myths about him returning. But Moses was still there. In spite of all their lack of faith, they decided things should be done their way rather than God's way. Let's do it the way we think is best. And that is a modern concept today. Let's do it our way. We think it should be the politically correct way. We'll change marriage, you know, and it's going to be now homosexual marriages too. We think that the church is irrelevant. It's outdated. All of these kind of things that people decide that they know better how to do it. The second problem they had was a preacher problem. They had a preacher problem. You remember Moses when God called him? What did he say? Anybody know? What did he say? Out there with that burning bush. What? No, I'm not eloquent in speech. Why would you choose me? God said, "Who can? You know, I can make man's mouth do whatever I want. Besides, you got Aaron, your brother. Aaron was a glib tongue. He was the fellow people liked to hear. He told them what they liked to hear. And he was a popular preacher. You know, that's a problem we've got today the same way. We got a lot of popular preachers who love to tell people what they like and who have a glib tongue, but they aren't worth the salt. They just don't accomplish what God wants. They accomplish what they want and what the people want. And so if you got a preacher problem, you got a problem, you're going no place. Exodus 32:2, Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives and your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, these be your gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Revisionism. They changed the truth into a lie, Scripture says. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to Jehovah. You know, this is an interesting thing. He says that this is a feast to Jehovah, and yet they were not doing what Jehovah said. They were doing what they said, what they wanted. They were doing the traditions of their forefathers down there in Egypt. They wanted to build a calf like they had back home, and they wanted a religion that was like that back there. And so but notice what Aaron has done here. He takes what was God's speech to Jehovah, and he combines it with the religious things, the nice teas and things they wanted. And that's what's going on in a lot of the religious world today. Corrupt preachers and corrupt people, as Jeremiah talks about, that he says that there's a wonderful and horrible thing done in Israel. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. That's the problem. People problem combined with a preacher problem, who wants to please people instead of telling them the truth. You know, it isn't always the things that we like to hear that are best for us. If you get a doctor that always tells you a lie and says, oh, you're going to be all right, no, he's not good for you. You want a doctor that will tell you the truth. People live in denial, and that ain't in Egypt. They want to live not knowing what's going to happen, and then they want to make sure it doesn't happen. Well, this is what works. We need people to tell us the truth, and we need to hear what God said. You know, I didn't make this thing. I didn't have anything to do with it. God wrote it, and what he says is what's right. And if I tell you what it says in this word, then it doesn't make any difference whether you like it or not, or whether I like it or not. The question is, what does it say? And we need honest men with courage of conviction to stand up and speak the truth, whether it's popular or not. So the people brought peace offerings and began to eat and to drink, and they rose up to play. Moses says they were singing and dancing naked. Says they took their clothes off and were dancing naked. Party time, people. Fun, fun, fun for everyone. And that's the kind of religion people want. Come together and have everybody shouting and dancing and singing and hooting it up and talking in tongues and all kinds of other stuff. So we'll have to make a game out of it. Let's have fun. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not. Lie to the people. Keep them happy. My uncle used to tell me, he said, Ralph, you don't have a right. He said, what you need to do is get them all shouting hallelujah and praising God, and then pass the plate. Well, you know, we could have a big group of people here, a lot of people who were just having a ball. We could put on a show, but that isn't what God reveals in his word. Sounds just like people today having a gay old time, proud of their shame. They rose up to play. Like today, many people want to play church. They want to just have, it's a social club. It's a nice place where good people go, have fun together, and you know, I'm not against having fun. I'm not against having a meal together or something that way. I think we should enjoy our relationship. But when fun takes priority over what God has said, there's where the rub is. There's where we need to draw in the lines. We need to get down to business. There's time to be serious. This is a serious matter. It's a matter of heaven and hell. People are losing their souls. They're going into an eternity of punishment, Scripture says. People don't want to talk about hell. Oh, hell. Well, that's just a swear word. They don't want to talk about the judgment day. Oh, judge not that you be not judged. They don't want to talk about serious things and get down to the issue of what God wants. The question is, what does God want? Not what we want. Not what the preachers like and their popularity, their good pay, their big buildings, their bragging rights. The issue is serious. We can't afford to just play church. So instead of living as images of God, they made God conform to the image of their own hearts. A golden calf. A religion like the world they left, doing the politically correct, the popular thing of the day that pleases everybody. That was a mistake. Now they're trying to get through this wilderness to the promised land. This only complicates the problem. This slows them down. This creates problems. This kills off many of the people who died because of it. But they had gone backwards. Instead of going forwards to the promised land, they were basically, their hearts were still back in Egypt. They were still trying to reproduce the old things of Egypt. To degenerate, descending to the worship of lower animals, which this is our source, according to people. We're just beasts, just animals. We just evolved. That attitude is the diametrically different attitude. God wants us to look up and see that we are to be like Him. And the devil wants people to look down and see where we came from, that we oozed out of some crack someplace and have been cracked ever since. God wants something better for us. He wants something that's worthwhile. No wonder people pervert themselves and destroy themselves. And the problems of the world are primarily due to the sin in the lives of people, the things they do wrong, the things they bring disease and death and misery on each other. That's terrible. That's because people are looking at themselves as being not responsible to a higher power and having a grander and higher view of their purpose in life. In Romans 1:23-25 says, "And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanliness, to the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." And so we have terrible problems in this world. A lot of it because people have dishonored themselves. They have been proud of their shame. Don't tell me what to do. Don't put me down. I'm as good as everybody else. And perhaps as bad as most everybody else, but not as good as God intended for us. They dishonor themselves. They shame themselves. They make themselves look ugly, and the product of their behavior results in ugly things that we have to pay huge amounts of money to try to save them from their wretched attitudes and conditioned results of their decisions. And the result is that we aren't able to spend that money and those efforts on good things because we're so busy trying to make them okay so they can go on with their miserable ways. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. People will pervert anything. As one fellow said, some people would deny the law of gravity if it contradicted some of their things they want. It doesn't matter. They will say, we will deny anything that God says or any truth if it is a conflict with what they want to do. Their deviations from following God had accomplished nothing worthwhile. They're still out there in the wilderness. And they think, well, you know, we're going to solve this thing our way. They're still there. They're not going anyplace. They're in a mess. They were now far worse off. No reliable leadership to get them out of their situation and into the promised land. Well, you think Aaron is going to lead them? He was following them. He was doing what they wanted. A leader needs to lead. And Aaron wasn't a leader. He was simply a popular person who was more considered of his own position and his relationship with them than he was with God. That's why God chose Moses over Aaron. Moses couldn't talk. Moses was a humble man. He said, I'm not able to do this. Why did God choose Moses? Because he was humble. Because he was sound. Because he stuck with what was right. Because he was willing to stand up to the people. And why didn't he choose Aaron? For exactly the opposite qualities. No help from a loving God, from a living God to feed and care for them. What are they going to do when the manna ran out? What are they going to eat? God had given them all of these things. People need to stop and think about when you turn your back on God and stop living for Him. I'll tell you, I've looked over the years, I've watched people turn away their hearts from God, and I've seen terrible messes that resulted. Horrible messes, because they wouldn't listen to what God said. They're going to do it their way, and the result is nothing but catastrophe. A little bit of pleasure for now, and a lot of regret later. Sad. People would only listen to God. It works, people. It works. Don't turn your back on God. Don't shut your eyes from what He teaches you, or His ears from what He says. Listen, and listen to the people that will tell you the truth instead of the people that try to tickle your ears and tell you, oh yes, if I were in the place, I would do it this way. They wouldn't have help from God. They were in deep, deep trouble. Meanwhile, back on the mount. Exodus 32 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go, get you down for your people which you brought out of the land of Egypt. They have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way. People need to follow the way that God has, that God set. They've quickly out of the way. I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed to it and have said, these be your gods, O Israel, which have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. They lied to them. They deceived them. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people, stubborn. They're going to do it their way. It doesn't matter what God says. Don't tell me what to do. Don't cram your religion down my throat. Stubborn. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. They were treading on dangerous territory. It was just, they were just that much away from being wiped out. But Moses pled for them to be given another chance. Moses said, why, Lord, you've made promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And remember those promises. Now you say, well, why would God listen to Moses? Who was Moses? I mean, God knew all about this. But you know, God does listen to a person who loves him and wants to do what he says. God does change his mind. You know, some people have the idea that if God would change his mind, that would be a defect. I'm sorry. I don't consider that a defect. I consider that one of the great, grand things about God. In spite of the fact that we messed it up and blown it, he will look at us and he can change his mind. Even after we've made a mess. Isn't that wonderful that he cares? That's his love triumphing over his justice and his anger that naturally comes at seeing people destroying themselves and each other. God gets frustrated with the things that go on, with what we do. But he can turn and accept us and give us forgiveness. And that's why he loved us so much he sent his son to make that possible. And it came to pass, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables of his hand out of his hands and broke them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. Thus, recompense. Drink it if it's so good. Here's your God. Swallow that. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto you that you have brought such a great sin upon them? Moses would reproach this preacher, Aaron. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. You know the people that they are set on mischief. Great, you know, he's the preacher. And instead of taking responsibility, because he could have made a lot of difference in that, the preachers of this world could make a whole lot of difference about the mess we're in this country if they stood up for what God said instead of trying to please the latest political correctness thing. For they said unto me, make us cross, which shall go before us. For this Moses, the man brought us up out of the land of Egypt. We don't know what was become of him. And I said unto them, well, whosoever has any gold, let him break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. What a liar. What a phony. You know, it was the people, and they pushed me, and I took their gold, and I put it into the fire, and it just came out this calf. Amazing. And this is the kind of stuff that's going on all over the world in religious houses this very day. You know, it's what the people want. And I got a revelation. Stephen spoke of this to the Jewish Sanhedrin before he was stoned. Acts 7, 38 through 41 says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. He speaks of them as the church in the wilderness, or the assembly in the wilderness. To whom are we should get some messages from this. There's some correlations we should learn. To whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts they turned back into Egypt. They wouldn't listen to what Moses said. And they turned their hearts back into Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us, for as for this Moses which brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idols and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Works of their own hands. conclusion. 1 Corinthians 10:11 to 12 goes on to say, now these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. And here's the thing that we wanted to take a look at. Here's the conclusion he's drawn. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. We need to be careful. We can fall too. We need to listen to God. We need to be with the people of the Lord. And we need to read the Word. And we need to pray, because we can fall into these things too. And we need to stay away from the things that will create temptation for us. Because the passage here in 1 Corinthians is warning against eating meat sacrificed to idols and those kinds of things, that where people fall into trouble. People want to get right on the edge. They want to live on the edge and just get as close as we can. And the next thing you know, they got one foot on the other side of the line. You know, we need to try to stay away from the line a little. Give yourself some slack. Don't kind of climb up on a cliff and hang over the edge. Be careful. Remember God's warnings and steer clear of the things that are going to get you in trouble. Let's stand and sing our song of invitation. I have decided to follow Jesus. And that's the key right there. Have we decided to follow Jesus? Or are we following our own will and the popular thing of the day and the latest preachers and the politically correct thing? The question is, who are we following? I've decided to follow Jesus.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back. No turning back.
Out of the wilderness.
No longer with you, I still am follow. No longer with you, I still am follow. No longer with you, I still am follow. No turning back. No turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide to follow Jesus? Will you decide to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back.
Thank you and God bless you. Baby Jesus.
Our announcements today. Tomorrow night, the 27th, will be celebration night for the young people here at the church building at 7 p.m. Coming up this Friday, December 1st at 7 p.m. will be the evangelism teams meetings, and I emphasize the plural, teams, adults and young people. That'll be 7 o'clock here at the church building, Friday the 1st. Coming up next Sunday afternoon, December 3rd at 1:30 p.m., will be a baby shower and a luncheon for Cindy Lisley Benedict next Sunday afternoon at 1:30. Remember the gift toy drive challenge that's going on, where young people and adults, I think, are still competing, are bringing gifts for the needy children of Seattle. And I believe our youth leaders have more information about that, Dan and Daryl Jr., if you want to contact them. Okay. Tracy Hawkins has an opening in her daycare for Mondays and Wednesdays starting in December. If you're interested, please let Tracy know. For our prayer requests, let's remember our sister Winnie, who is recovering from hip surgery. She's not with us today. It's good to see Silva with us. Also, continued prayers, please, for Dave Hansen's job situation. They lost a contract for delivering Target's goods, and it's going to severely impact the warehouse where Dave works, so he could be out of a job next March. So let's pray about that, too. Okay? Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Oh, Ted?
You're still selling calendars. There's $10 a piece. We have wall calendars, and there's also stock calendars. So if you're interested in providing calendars, stock one of you.
Okay, and I understand the proceeds are going for a youth mission trip next...
They're going for the mission trip that's coming up next summer.
Okay.
So,
okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that we could be together today in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for good and honest hearts, Lord, that we would worship you in spirit and in truth, and that we would have no other gods before thee. Lord, we're thankful that we have your word and that we have the Holy Spirit to help discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And we pray for his guiding and his action in our hearts so that we can present ourselves in a pleasing way to you. Father, we ask that you'll be with our sister Winnie, that you'll bring healing to her, relief from her pain, and that she could be with us again. Also, Lord, would you bless Dave Hansen in his job situation? I pray that there won't be any interruption in his employment. Father, we thank you for your love. Please bless and guide us wherever we are and whatever we do, that we always be mindful that we're your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Have a great day.